You are Locked On Giants, your daily podcast on the New York Giants. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giants fans, and welcome to the latest edition of Locked On Giants. I'm Ed Valentine of Big Blue View, along with co-host Pat Traina of Inside Football, The Athletic, and assorted other publications. How are you today, Patty?
I'm exhausted just hearing you say all that stuff, Ed.
And today, that means that we are going to turn our attention to the NFL draft. We've seen the Giants make quite a few moves in free agency, and they'll probably, you know, make a few more smaller ones. But it's pretty much time to turn our attention fully to the NFL draft. And with that said, let's bring on a special guest for today. That would be Scott Wright of Draft Countdown. I had the opportunity to speak with Scott recently about a variety of draft topics, and I'd like to play that interview for you right now. Giants fans, I'm joined now by Scott Wright, one of my favorite draft analysts. Scott runs the Draft Countdown site. Scott, thanks a lot for joining us today. How are you?
It's my pleasure. I'm doing excellent. Good to talk with you as always.
So let's get right into the meat of this with the Giants. And obviously, they sit there at the number two pick. Lots and lots of argument over what they're going to do. And I think really there are three choices for the Giants. There's probably the Barkley choice with maybe Quentin Nelson on the out, as an outside chance. There's the quarterback choice, and there's the trade down choice. Let's talk about Saquon Barkley first. I know that I saw you ranked him, I think, in terms of prospects. I think the only recent running back prospect you had ranked above Barkley talent-wise was Leonard Fournette. But when you look at Barkley, is Barkley really, talent or not, is he really value, for the Giants at number two, at least equal value to a quarterback or maybe what they can get in terms of trade down?
I think the best way to put it is this. If you're willing to make that type of investment in a running back, i.e. a top five pick, Barkley's the type you do it on. I mean, he is the total package. And as you said, in terms of the recent running back prospects, he'd be right behind Leonard Fournette, but ahead of Todd Gurley, ahead of Zeke Elliott. He's a fantastic talent. And I'm stingy with my elite grade. There are only two guys, maybe a third sneaks into it, but only two guys right now have it. One is Quentin Nelson, the offensive guard from Notre Dame, and two is Saquon Barkley. So that's the good stuff. I'm personally adverse to taking any running back that early, even one I like as much as Fournette or Barkley. I just believe that you can find maybe not the same production, but similar productions much further down the line. And I think last year provided another perfect example of that. As much as I love Leonard Fournette, I would have liked Kareem Hunt in the third round a lot better, or Alvin Kamara in the second round. So running backs can be found, and this year is no different. There are a lot of talented running backs, and you can get a starting caliber all-around runner in the second round, the third round, maybe even the fourth. So I just don't believe in taking a running back that early personally. But as I said, if you're going to do it, Barkley's the type of guy you do it with.
And I'm curious, I saw your ranking. You put him second behind Fournette. It's a little bit of an aside, but what makes you put Fournette at the top of that list?
Fournette's just another species. I mean, he's a different animal. He's one of those things that you know it when you see it, and Fournette is an elite running back prospect. I mean, he's just unlike anything I think I've ever seen. I mean, I wasn't quite around when Bo Jackson was coming out, but you heard those types of comparisons, and I believe it. So, but Barkley's excellent. And honestly, Gurley, the reason he came in third, because as a prospect coming out, he had a major knee injury he was coming off of. So he wound up going 10th in the draft. He probably would have gone earlier. I think I wound up having him as my third best player in that whole draft. So I think highly of all three of those guys. But then Barkley is certainly belongs in that group. But it's risky when you take a running back that early. You think back to just that school alone, Kajana Carter, Blair Thomas, for those who go back a little bit with me and back to, like, what was that, 1990 maybe? So there's always risk with draft picks, but especially running backs, and I want to minimize that risk. So if I'm the Giants, you have to look at Barkley, but if I'm the Giants, I'm open for business. I'm looking to trade down.
Yeah, Scott, before we get to the trade down, you mentioned the day two backs, second round, third round, fourth round. Realistically, maybe Darius Geis probably isn't going to be there. If the Giants sit at 34, realistically,
maybe.
Who are your favorite, maybe day two, maybe even, round four. So, first round of day three, your favorite running backs, guys that you think you could get, an awful lot of production from.
I mean, I can give you some in every range, and I wouldn't completely rule out Geis being there at 34. Probably not, but it's not completely out of the question. But otherwise, that next year, I think you have Ronald Jones from USC, who's been compared to Chris Johnson. Then you have the two kids from Georgia, Sony Michel and Nick Chubb. So I think all of those guys would be options in round two. If you want to wait to round three, Rashad Penny from San Diego State, who I'm a huge fan of. He'd be the guy if I were waiting to get a running back this year in the second or third round. Penny's the guy I'd be targeting. Just a tremendous combination of size and speed, and really stepped up when the opportunity finally provided himself when Donnell Pumphrey moved on to the NFL this year. But Kerryon Johnson from Auburn, and then even middle rounds, Bo Scarborough from Alabama. He's not Derrick Henry, but he's a similar freakish type size at that position. Josh Adams from Notre Dame, major durability issues going back to his high school days. But if he stays healthy, he's probably a top 50 type player in this draft talent wise, and you can get him on day three. And of course, there's a reason you get him there, but that's a possible sleeper. Even going into day three of the draft, rounds four through seven, rounds six or seven, Kalen Ballage from Arizona State, who looks exactly like you want to draw him up physically. He's 6'3", 230, he runs a 4.4, just an underachiever. But he kind of flashed at the Senior Bowl what he's capable of, and maybe he's just one of those guys where he ends up being a better pro than college player. Darrell Williams from LSU was overshadowed by Fournette and Geis, but really kind of stepped up once when he did get those opportunities when those guys were hurt. So, that's all – regardless what round, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I can give you good running back options. And now, are they going to be Barkley? No. I mean, Barkley's an elite prospect, and he's special. But you need a special running back to accomplish your main goal, which is winning the Super Bowl these days. I don't know what you do.
Interesting. So let's back up to that number two pick again, and the sort of conundrum that the Giants have here. The trade that the Jets made, moving up from 6 to 3, sort of, I don't know if it puts the Giants in a box or if it really changes what they're going to do that much. But if you look at it, it sort of tells Cleveland that if Cleveland's going to take the quarterback that they want, they have to do it at 1, because the Jets aren't moving up to 3 unless they're taking a quarterback. So the question for the Giants then, obviously, is, you've got 37-year-old Eli Manning. Do you take the guy that you think is the quarterback of the future there? And it's sort of a long way around for me to get to the question, but you told me a while ago that you thought that Sam Darnold, was the guy among the quarterbacks in this draft. You still feel that way?
I do. I think he's clearly the guy, and Josh Rosen will be right there, if not ahead of him, talent-wise, if not for the intangibles concerns. But if you're comfortable with Josh Rosen as a person, he belongs right in that mix with Darnold as well. The trade, it certainly changed the math for the Cleveland Browns. Like you said, they're going to not be able to get very cute now, and if they're going to take a quarterback, they have to do it at 1 because he very well might not be there at number 4. So it definitely affects them, and I think that Jets moving up to number 3 with that trade, I think that's really going to work out well for the Giants, because now they're in the catbird seat. If you want a quarterback, if you're, say, the Buffalo Bills, who have a treasure trove of draft picks, number 12, number, I think it's 22 or 23, multiple seconds, multiple thirds, the Bills have the ammunition to do anything in the world they want to do. And I think the Giants are going to be open for business. So I think the trade is nothing but good things for the Giants. And I said since the day they hired David Gettleman that they were not taking a quarterback with that number two pick. Eli Manning last year made it pretty clear his thoughts on taking a back seat. And the last thing, and by going with David Gettleman, who's kind of in with ownership and kind of the old school Giants regime, they're going to do what Eli wants, and they think he's got a few years left, and they're going to try to win with him. And Eli certainly isn't going to want them using their most valuable asset to bring in his replacement, the guy who's going to be, the fans are going to be cheering for him to be benched for every interception. So there's just no way they're taking a quarterback at number two. So I think the options are either you take Barkley there, maybe Quentin Nelson, or you try to trade down and try to get as much as you can from the Bills. And I think I would probably lean toward the latter scenario, just because I think they could get so much for it. And, those second and third round picks, those are plug-and-play starters. And if your goal is to try to make one more run with Eli Manning, I think that gives you the best chance. But I wouldn't argue with them staying at two and taking Nelson, who I think is the best player in the draft and the safest player in the draft and the best guard prospect I've seen in the 20 years I've been doing this. Or even Barkley. I mean, he'd certainly help Eli Manning and would bring them closer to that goal. But I don't think a quarterback's in the mix.
You don't think the quarterback's in the mix at all for the Giants at two? That's interesting, because I think most people do believe that quarterback is in the mix. Let me put it this way.
I agree with that, too. If I were running the team, I would take the quarterback. You're very rarely in this position where you can get one of the top quarterbacks in the draft. And with Eli's age, his declining play, I think you would have to pull the trigger, but I don't think they will. But I absolutely would if I were them. Just wanted to make that clear. And I think you might hear them link to quarterback talk in the last 37 days here, I believe it is, before the draft. But I think that's going to be, by and large, a product of them trying to drum up a trade market and maximize their leverage.
Interesting. Really interesting, in fact. Now, the thing that I wonder, you mentioned the Buffalo Bills, and obviously Buffalo moved up, from 21 to 12, in the trade with Cincinnati. But Buffalo, obviously, they've got 12 and 22 and a couple of picks in the second round. I'm a little squeamish about the idea of moving from 2 all the way down to 12. Is that too far to go, or is there still enough talent, at 12, to justify that kind of a move?
Well, and the first thing is, if we're working under the assumption that a quarterback isn't in play, which I don't think it is, I think there's going to be four quarterbacks that go in the top 12. So then you're going to get a top 8 player at number 12. So I think you're still going to get a really good player there, but especially those second round picks. And my last mock draft, I extended it to round 2 for the very first time. And I also just released my top 300 overall. So it really gave me kind of a new perspective on how the landscape of the draft is shaping up, who's going to be available where. And there's going to be guys available even in late round 2 that are being talked about as potential first round prospects. So if you can come away with 2 or 3 of those type guys, plus the number 12 overall pick, plus maybe, that number 22 pick, I mean, geez, that's a king's ransom. And you could plug a lot of holes on that roster with those picks. And I'm sure that would make Eli Manning quite happy. And because that would be committing to him for the next 2-3 years, saying, hey, we're all in with you, Eli. Let's do it.
Yeah, I think if the Giants went down to 12, the name that pops into my head that I would probably be crossing my fingers and hoping would still be on the board, the guy would be Tremaine Edmonds.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly couldn't argue with that. He's a pretty special physical specimen, still just 19 years old, and I compare him to Anthony Barr in that, 4'3", 3'4", outside linebacker, inside linebacker. You want to put him with his hand down as a defensive end and blitz him off the edge. You can do that. Just an outstanding player. And I don't know if he's going to make it that far. He could very well go in the top 10, but if he's there at 12, I think he'd be a great option. I mean, they could potentially get the best offensive tackle in the draft, whoever they deem that to be. Personally, I think it's Mike McGlinchey, but if they wanted to bring in, he's a guy they could start out as guard initially at least. And that's the other thing, too, is if they wanted more offensive line help, there's just going to be so much depth along the offensive line in that top 50, top 75 range. They could really load up if they move down. So I do think that would be the best bet. But, I wonder how much, and maybe you could offer some insight into this, how much are public relations going to play into this? Because pick at number two, like you said, I'm sure a lot of thoughts are on, if not the quarterback, Saquon Barkley. Are they willing public relations-wise to either, A, take an offensive lineman, Quentin Nelson, there, or, B, trade down?
Oh, you're turning the tables on me
feasible?
Here, Scott.
Is it feasible?
See, I think, my gut feeling is that, everyone, there's pretty much those three schools of thought. And everybody's in, whichever camp that they're in. And my thinking is that no matter which way they go, there's going to be a segment of the fan base, jumping up and down in glee. And there's going to be another, segment of the fan base that's just disgusted and wants to throw their remote through the TV, and fire Gettleman, so I don't know. I don't think there's any choice the Giants can make that's going to be universally accepted in the fan base. I think they just have to do, what they think is right.
And from the outsider's view, I guess my answer would be Nelson, I think, would be tough, especially over a quarterback in Barkley. As good as Nelson is, I think that would probably be a tough pill for the fans to swallow. But I think it could be, if they move down, I think it could be feasible, assuming they get a huge return for it. I think they can sell that. Of course, the people who want Saquon Barkley are going to be angry, but I think if you get four or five assets that figure to come in and be immediate starters for you, I think you can probably sell that public relations-wise. I'm not so sure you can sell Quentin Nelson at number two overall over the quarterbacks in Barkley.
Let me put it to you this way. I mean, to me, Nelson feels like a Gettleman kind of guy, the hog mollies and all of that. If you're able to move down to, let's say, five, or let's say the Indianapolis Colts want to take, some of the picks they accumulated and for whatever reason move back up to number two, if you're able to move down to five or six, is that a place, where you think that Nelson would be and a place where it would make sense to pick him?
Yeah, he could very well be there at five, and I think that might be the most reasonable solution. Obviously, you wouldn't get as much from the Broncos as you would the Bills because you don't have to move down as far, but I think the Broncos could be motivated to move up to get, quote-unquote, their guy. I mean, they coached both Josh Allen and Baker Mayfield at the Senior Bowl. I don't know if they have a strong preference between them, but if Darnold goes one to the Browns, they could have their pick of them at two. So I don't know that the Denver is willing to pay that price. Maybe they're content to stand pat and hope one of the two, maybe they're comfortable with either and feel one of the two will be there at number five. But if they fell in love with them, one or the other, and they want to make sure they get them, they could very well move up as well. And it still leaves you in striking range, but it still presents the same problem I talked about where instead of taking the stud quarterback or the superstar running back, you're taking an offensive line with your top pick. And in a trade like that, moving down from two to five, I'm not sure what the returns would be. Maybe a couple of second-round picks. It's not going to be the type of Kings ransom that you think of with moving down with the Bills at 12. So, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of a quandary. I mean, it's a good problem to have because you're looking at good players. You're either going to get a really good player or you're going to get a lot of really good assets. But I'm sure this is the type of stuff that the Giants are gaming out in their war room right now and trying to figure out amongst themselves. They like you said, they have these. They're at this fork in the road with three different paths, and they have to figure out which one they want to go down.
Scott, great stuff as always. When I get a chance to talk to you, appreciate your time. Why don't you, before you sign off, tell the folks where they can see your work, where they can find you on Twitter, where they can listen to you podcast-wise, and all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Check it out at draftcountdown.com. Everything on the site is 100% free. My last mock draft was released just before free agency, but, you know, there have been some changes, but not as many as I actually thought so far, but there'll be a new one coming soon. Then I released my top 300 overall, which really kind of gives you an idea of how I see it breaking down early rounds, mid rounds, late rounds. And then you can also follow me on Twitter at Draft Countdown.
All right, Scott, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Anytime.
All right, Patty, lots and lots of interesting draft talk and you know, so much focus and so much riding on this draft for the Giants, especially with the number 2 overall pick. It certainly is going to be an interesting month, you know, leading up to the big event.
Yeah, and you know what? The pressure is on Dave Gettleman. He's got to get this right. And then it's, you know, the draft, as you know, it's a crapshoot. Sometimes you luck out on a guy that, you know, a lot of people thought maybe wasn't going to be a good prospect. And sometimes you'll take what all the analysts say is the surefire prospect, and that guy actually turns out to be a bust. But when you're coming off a 3-13 season, you better make sure that you explore every nook and cranny, that you do your due diligence and you get it right.
Yeah, we certainly, you know, we're looking at a situation where, you know, 5 out of 6 years the Giants haven't made the playoffs, you know, the 1-11-5 season having been an aberration pretty much. If you get this draft wrong, you know, we could be staring at, you know, what I used to refer to, you know, in the old days of the Giants as the wilderness years, you know, of the late 60s and early 70s. And you know, nobody who remembers those wants to go back to them. So cross your fingers and hope that the Giants get this one right.
Amen to that.
And with that said, Giants fans, we'll call it a show. And we'll be back again later this week with more Giants talk. So hopefully you'll tune in again then. Thanks. Bye-bye.